O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths will declare your praise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The scripture for today is James 2, verses 1 through 17. Let's prepare our hearts to hear from God's word as we listen to Blessed Are the Merciful by the Porter's Gate. This song has little instrumental accompaniment and focuses heavily on the raw vocal harmonies. The emphasis becomes fixed on the text, as it would have in the days of the early church. The same principles of mercy from our passage in James continue to ring true today.
Blessed are the merciful, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Mercy. Forgive us as we forgive those who sin.
James 2, verses 1 through 17. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, "You sit here in a good place," while you say to the poor man, "You stand over there," or "Sit down at my feet," have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." If you do not commit adultery but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warmed and filled," without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. It's easy to claim to have faith. It doesn't take much or cost anything to say that you're a Christian. National surveys in Western countries continue to show high numbers of people who do this very thing. It's as easy as saying a few words, checking a box on a form, making a comment on Facebook, or answering a question in a survey. Faith is easily claimed, but James says it may not be genuine Christian faith. However easy it might be to profess to be a Christian, and whatever someone might feel that profession achieves for them, James says it accomplishes absolutely nothing good at all if mere profession is all it is. It is possible to claim and to believe you possess genuine saving faith when in fact you do not. It is possible, in other words, to believe you have things sorted out with God without actually knowing Him. So how can we tell if we possess true faith? What are the marks of saving faith? James tells us in verse 17 that true faith works. True faith shows itself in acts of love towards God and neighbor. Martin Luther made this point powerfully when he wrote, "Faith cannot help doing good works constantly. It doesn't stop to ask if good works ought to be done, but before anyone asks, it already has done them and continues to do them without ceasing." Now, we should never lose sight of the reality that salvation is a gift of God's grace. We don't work our way into His favor. We already have it as a free gift, as a result of Jesus' work for us. But the salvation that we receive by grace demonstrates its validity in loving action. So in these next few moments, pray that God would work in your heart and move you to work. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared for you in advance that you should walk in them. So again, in these next few moments, pray that He would show you how. Let's close now with this ancient prayer. O God, at whose bidding man goes forth to his work and to his labor until the evening, grant us to cherish the lessons we have learned out of your holy word. Support us when we are tested in duty, that in all our doings we may remember that you have chosen us, that we should go and bear fruit, and that our fruit should abide. Amen.